You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, and welcome, or welcome back to Black Hair in the Big Leagues. I'm your host, Celicia Thomas, and today I've got my sister queen on here with me, y'all, straight out of getting her BFA, graduating with honors and magna cum laude. She booked the starring role in the international and national tour of Bring It On and Memphis. She's done numerous off-Broadway productions, numerous regional productions, including, I think this is like really cool, the regional premiere cast of Sister Act at a Gunkwit Playhouse. I remember those auditions. It's just like, so she was in that. I met her at an audition for The Bodyguard, and I remember the light and the confidence that came with the whole package that she is. Y'all, please help me welcome Zuri Washington.
Hey!
Hi. Hey! What's up?
Nothing. I mean, like, literally nothing, but also figuratively nothing, because obviously we're in the middle of nothing happening in the world, but, like, you know.
Right.
Hi, everybody. I'm so happy to be here. Hi, Celicia. I'm so happy to see your face. I see so few faces these days, even on Zoom. So,
right. No, so super real. I'm like, I'm so happy to see you. And it just feels like, even just like being able to sit down and talk with you for a minute, like, yeah, we're doing a podcast, but like, just the fact that we can edit anything out, it just makes me feel like we're having coffee. We can say, like, we can catch up and just see your face. I'm so happy to see you. Right before we were pushing record, we were talking about like real life things and our unemployment finally coming through. It's like, it's a real freaking thing. I just got a call from the freaking office today. It sounds like you had just gotten a call, and it's like, oh, this pandemic is, it's a real thing.
It's real. And I always expected it to take, like, once this all started happening and once I realized it was going to take much longer than anybody had projected and all that stuff, I was like, okay, it's going to take me a while to get through to unemployment and to do this, that, and the other, whatever, whatever. I was like, totally fine. I was fine with waiting 4 months. I was like, maybe even 5 or 6 months. But lo and behold, I, up until, I guess last week was the last week of January, and 10 months I waited.
Okay, full months. Okay, so really the reason why I just brought this up right now is I wanted to know, and I want whoever's listening to also know, how did you get through?
So I applied, I will make this part of the story like really short. I applied through New Jersey though, because the last place I worked at was Paper Mill. And so I did everything correctly. I talked to
the Sister Act production.
Right. Yes.
Sorry. Work. Just work, girl. Work.
So I was at, like, loved Paper Mill. Great. Like, for the time that we were there anyway. But so New Jersey was the last place I worked. And I was like, cool, I'm applying in New Jersey for a multitude of reasons. It was the last place I worked, and it has one of the highest rates in the country for unemployment. So I was like, yeah, this makes sense on multiple levels to apply here. Little did I know that because eventually what I found out is that because New Jersey has such a high rate that people were applying there that just had no business applying there. And so my claim got lost in the midst of all of that. And then, and so it was a nightmare. And I was like, should I go to New York? But I'd heard stories from people that, for example, worked at Oregon Shakespeare Festival, and they were there for 10 months. So they applied in Oregon, and Oregon was like, no, you needed to apply in New York. And New York was like, oh no, you needed to apply in Oregon. And then they canceled their claims and said, oh, you need to apply again in like 6 months or something like that. And I was like, I don't have time for that nightmare to happen. But look, but I was still waiting the same amount of time. So then back in December, I was at my wit's end, and I finally was like, you know what? I don't care what happens. I need to see what's going to happen if I apply in New York. So I applied in New York. New York got back to me within a week. I got mail telling me what my weekly benefit rate was and all this other stuff. Then Jersey kind of was like, oh yeah, you okay? So this is what you they were like, this is what you need to do. Mind you, this, I've called them all the time since like at least August. I gave them a long time. I called all the time since August. But then, so then they were like, oh, by the way, so we're not doing calls anymore. So you need to put this through on this form that we're going to send you. So they send me the form and I fill it out. And when I look at how they determine my weekly benefit rate, they, Salisha, I worked for the 18 months prior to the pandemic. I had 10 plus jobs. Why are you telling me, New Jersey, that you only see one job on my entire claim? How is that possible? So I got the lowest weekly benefit rate because they were like, you haven't worked enough. And I was like, I can't, like, I was like, I can't do this anymore. So I was like, you know what? And then, so getting through to New York, what people had done before, and I'd heard about this, but I tweeted and messaged them on Twitter.
Tweeted?
Yeah, it's literally crazy. New York really did a great job in revamping their system. There's still problems, of course, but they've done a great job in revamping the system, and being able to contact them via a Twitter message.
Oh my gosh. See, that is the stuff that I'm like, what? Because my benefits ran out in like November or something, or if there was a glitch in the system, I don't know, okay? Yeah. And so I'm like trying to get through, calling, getting up early. Girl, I don't get up early. I'm still on a Broadway schedule, and even I ain't got no job in 10 months, and I'm still like, we're not getting up. And so I would call them. It's like 7:59 every day. Got through to nobody. It was actually pretty demoralizing. And I was like, what am I going to do? I ended up writing my local congressman.
Oh yeah. Uh-huh.
And they got back to me. They actually got back to me, and they forwarded my stuff along. And then today I got a call from unemployment. So I just say that to say, because I know, like, it's happening to you, it's happening to me. We are not the only ones, especially in this industry. It's like, what do you do when you can't get through to anybody? So
you better rhyme.
Huh?
I said, you better rhyme. You better. Shut up. When you can't get through. Ooh, speak. Yes.
Shut up. You better preach, honey. What do you do when you can't get through? You tweet. You said it, sweet. I said, what do you do when you can't get through? You call the congressman. I got nothing. You call the congressman. Oh, okay. So one of the reasons why, thank you for sharing that. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm adding that to my list of things of how to get in touch with the New York State. Freaking tweet them, for crying out loud. One of the reasons why I was so excited to like talk to you is because you posted something about, first of all, a few reasons. First of all, you can wear a wig. It is a moment when you, Zuri, when you walk into a room and you've got this big hair, it looks like yours. You look fantastic. I'm like, the first time I met you, I'm like, oh God, who is that? Like, literally, I'm like, who is this goddess? Like, this freak of nature. So definitely we will be talking about that. But also, you posted something on Facebook about a biracial girl that you're babysitting.
Yeah.
Something about her hair. Have you guys, can you tell me about her?
Yeah. So she is, I'm not saying her name for like her mother's very big about like, please don't mention my child's name, but in anything, but yeah, so she is 5 years old. She's turning 6 next week. She's very excited, but she is like such a ball of energy, and she's so lovely and has way too much like physical energy and jump on you at all times, and she's very active. But I when I first met her, which was back in November, one of the first things I noticed about her, it's the Black girl in me, I was like, what's up with her hair? Like, I was just like, because it was in pigtails, but they were kind of messy. And I was like, okay, I don't know what's going on here. It looked matted in the back.
Okay.
And so I was like, what is this? What is this about? So then I started like asking the mom, and the mom is the one who is white. I think she's Jewish, white Jewish. And the dad is Black. And I think from all the stories and all the conversations that we've had, they usually take her to a salon kind of thing, or they had someone coming to their house once a week. But then when the pandemic hit, they don't know how to do with her hair. They just don't. Neither one of them knows what to do. And I think something that I have been like researching on their behalf, and for me, myself as well, like my mother's a hairstylist. And I was very fortunate and very spoiled when it came to like getting my hair done. And my mother did my hair from the time I was like 6 to 9 months old. You know, she pulled it back into braids or put it into puffs and whatever style at the time, barrettes and whatnot. So I was always used to my hair getting done, to the point that I'm not a tender-headed person. It doesn't bother me. You can touch my hair, like, with my permission. But, like...
right.
But you can, like, touch my hair and pull it, and it's not going to, like, bother me, like, even if you, like, really tug on it. But she can barely stand, like... She was scared of me putting my fingers in her hair because she associates so much pain with doing her hair, and she doesn't like the sensation of water on her neck. She doesn't like her hair being she doesn't like the moisture that comes with doing her hair. And I keep trying. What I have been attempting to explain to her is that hair like ours needs that moisture, and your hair, she loves it to be in these pigtails. And I was like, your hair will fall out of your head at some point in your life if you do not learn this right now. And I hope that when I'm not no longer able to like be with her as a permanent fixture in her life, that they're able to continue this or at least get some basic stuff done. But then the knots and tangles in this girl's hair, I'm still dealing with a lot of it, because prior to when I met her, they hadn't washed her hair in more than 3 months.
Oh.
And that's like because she cries every time. They like so they're scared. You know, they're scared.
Yeah.
And they don't want to put her through the trauma and all this other stuff that I totally understand. Yeah. But at some point you just gotta do it. And I was like, listen,
yeah.
I really think I'm gonna try to do her hair once a week. Like, even if it's like just detangling the ends, even if it's just redoing the little pigtails and stuff. And, wow. You know, it's just been like a real journey to try to, cause I've never experienced, like, my hair's never been tangled like that. It's just never been like that. So I didn't even know not the vocabulary, but I didn't even know like the steps to take to get to this child's like the roots of her hair. If I could show you a picture, you right now, I'm so happy because even though the middle part is now tangled, so like the roots are clean, but the middle part's kind of tangled now, but it's kind of like the knot is moving slowly down to the end.
Wow.
And I like, which is frustrating, but very exciting because I was able to get the circle, the hair tie closer to her scalp. So now she can wear earmuffs and now she can like wear headbands because she couldn't wear them. And I don't even think she has a helmet for like her scooter and stuff. She couldn't wear it for months because they could not get it over her, like her head. She has so much hair. Oh my God. It's like, down to her. If I stretch it when I'm doing it, sometimes it goes down to her mid back.
Oh, okay. So she's got a lot of hair. And is it the texture? Is it like tight, tight curls? Is it 4C? Is it 3C? Is it, do you know?
It's like, I would say like 3C, 4A. It depends on where in her, like, it's a mix.
Okay. So then I can relate because I have like 3C, 4A. And yeah. There was a few times in my life when she tried to get a little mad at honey. And it's hard when it mats.
It's really hard.
It's a whole different level than just being tangled.
Yes, exactly. And so like I think they were very fortunate when she was younger, her curl was looser. So they didn't have to deal with it the same way that it needs to be dealt with now. But now it's too late. And now she's totally a nightmare about it. And I tell her this all the time, like, little girl, you are a nightmare. And we've gotten to the point she doesn't cry anymore. And it's great that she doesn't cry anymore. And the other day she said something, I was like, oh my God, your hair is a nightmare, but oh my God, I wish that I had this hair. You have so much beautiful hair. And she was like, well, you do have, she said, you do have hair like mine. It's just shorter. And I was like, that's really cute. Like she doesn't like get it. I'm not going to explain like curl patterns to her because she's
right.
But she acknowledges, that there's like something that makes us the same in that we are both Black in some way, shape, or form. And sometimes I feel like they don't talk to her all the time about like being Black. They're very positive. Like the mom buys so many books. She's like little Black girls on the cover. It's like, you know, she's trying her best, but I don't know if they talk outright about it and have actual like full conversations about it. In the way that most Black parents that I know, or Black moms specifically, because I don't blame the mom. She's doing the best she has. Pin straight hair, and she's like, I don't know. Right.
It's like, what do you do when you are like, I can't even like, I know this sounds so basic, but I've never had kids of my own and both of my parents are Black. I've never really put myself in anyone's shoes of like, if you are white and a baby comes out of you and she is definitely Black, because it's never the opposite. It's not like, okay, I'm a Black woman and then your baby comes out straight up white. Like there might be they might be very light skinned. They might right. have a looser curl, but it's always like, the Black genes kind of become kind of dominant.
Right, especially when it comes to specific things. And hair is one of those things. Yeah, and so I really try to work with her, and slowly with, like, I'm hoping, it's hard because I don't think that they have the time that it requires. Like I watch on YouTube a bunch of families, but there's a couple families where there's like a white adoptive parent a white family in general, but the white mom specifically is like, this is what I do and this is how I learned, etc., etc. Like what's it, Black hair, vanilla care, like those kind of things. And she does such, and that woman does such a great job. And I'm like, but she's like, it's wash day, so we are spending like 3 to 5 hours or whatever detangling, sitting the child in front of watching their favorite show, detangling, making right. sure I twist it and then do this. And then she put these beautiful like cornrow styles or braided styles. And like, she does such a great job. And I know it's hard, but I really need parents of multiracial families to like, the minute they know, especially that when they're having a girl, but even if you have a boy, when you know you're having a child of any kind of color, you need to know how to handle that hair.
Right.
Like, or you need to like have someone go step by step with you. So just in case a national epidemic or pandemic happens again,
you're like not in the total dark.
You're not in the dark and freaking out.
We'll be right back right after the break.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. Suf's The Original New Musical from Shayna Taub is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
Do you think you want kids one day?
Like, I've kind of put it out of my mind because the world is in such a poor place in general. And I don't think that I want to bring a child into
it. Okay, can we talk about this? Because I agree with you, like 100%. And I literally had said, like, if this person wins the election, I don't want to bring a little black boy into that world. And if this person wins the election, I could mess with that. We could do something. But you know what? Somebody said a very interesting point to me, Zuri.
What?
He said, Stick with me for a second.
I'm here.
All right. Because I literally said what you said, because it makes sense. It's like, this world is nuts. I don't want to bring anybody into this. However, what if, okay, I'm being very generalized here.
Sure.
What if all of the good people are like, man, there are so many bad people in this world. I am not bringing anybody into this world. So the good people stop reproducing. And all the bad people are like, whatever. And they have all the kids.
That's usually what happens. And I'll put it in more like, not as like.
Good, bad.
Yeah, good, bad.
that's a bad example, but
that's kind of what ends up happening. But like, but at the end of the day, when people, you know, the more educated people are, the less children they have.
Oh,
that's just what tends to happen, because you're like, either it's because they're focusing on their careers. Who knows the reason?
Interesting.
They're focusing on their careers, or they're like, they know about birth control. They know like how to prevent those things from happening, so they don't have like 8 to 20 children.
Right. There's not as many farms today. Like,
right.
I do know some very smart people with like a lot of children, and that is a thing.
Right.
But I get what you're saying. It's like, back in the day, you need to have those children because you're world is like literally taking care of the farm, at least for my family.
Right. And like, my dad is one of nine, and so like it, as time has wore on, we can't figure out how to pay for these kids, like our generation.
We barely pay for ourselves.
And so, why would I bring in a child that costs $200,000 before college?
Oh my gosh.
So you know, but even just having generally speaking, you know, if you bring education to villages in Africa or third world countries, people tend to have less kids because they have possibly more ambitions to do something else, even if it's not career related. Maybe it's just like, I just don't want to have kids, and I realize that there's something outside of having kids to fulfill my life or to make my life seem important, because that's really why a lot of people have kids. They're like, legacy.
Oh yeah, that's nice.
They want something to be here when they're gone. That's and cool. most people don't have the benefit. I was just watching, what was that Netflix docuseries about what's her name? The one So the white lady with the
Princess Diana?
No. Oh my god! the older white lady.
Queen.
No. Oh my god! You're so silly. No. This like, she's like a Jewish. She lives in New York, and she's very much like a staple of the city. I see her on the, like, I've seen her on the street like multiple times in my life.
Really?
No.
Who?
You're so wait, hold on. I'm gonna like Google this while I'm like thinking about it. It's a docuseries. My brain is like, oh, it's Fran Lebowitz. Fran Lebowitz.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So she was talking. She was kind of talking something about that. That's what it's reminding me of, that conversation she had with Martin Scorsese in it. And I'm trying to remember my train of thought, honestly. Because Google distracts me a lot.
I did not help. I'm so sorry.
I was like, wait, the queen and Diane?
Like that white lady. Yeah.
Of course, queen or someone British. It's definitely someone British and not someone from this country.
I'm so sorry. Okay. If you don't remember, do you remember?
Let me try for 2 seconds. Okay. No, I don't remember right now.
You were saying, I don't know if this will help or not, you were saying that you had put it out of your mind for a little bit about having kids.
Oh, I put it
going
out
way back, but
no, it's okay. I put it out of my mind because even if so Joe Biden won, great, whatever. But that's only one, and I don't know what the trajectory we're going on, and also is the world going to be saved by then? Because the country aside, are we going to be able to breathe the air in 50 years? I don't know. So I don't want to. I have beautiful nieces and a nephew that's coming, and like other things that I can put my energy and attention into and give them all of my love or whatever affection. I don't think that it is in the cards for me in this lifetime to have kids.
Really?
I don't think so. Because unless I can make that decision when I'm like, which I could, but like, unless I can make the decision when I'm like 40.
That's like a possibility.
But that's late for having kids. And I know, like, I'm exhausted. I get exhausted babysitting, and I'm still in my 20s. So, like,
I mean, we still got, like, a lot of, and, like, knock on wood, but we still kind of have time to decide.
I know, but I think that, or for me right now, the decision is pretty final because it's not going to be like, it's not going to be like a spur of the moment decision for me. So in 5 years, maybe I'll revisit it and be like, okay, in a few years I'll do this. But I also have like multiple plans. Like I'm like that are, you know, I've told my boyfriend for years, I'm like, you can't propose to me until I officially get on Broadway and not Broadway National Tours. It has to be on Broadway. So like until that happens, that I'm not getting married. Like I'm not like, these are things that I.
Interesting.
Like, I have a process that I would prefer to happen before I feel settled enough and secure enough, both like spiritually, emotionally, mentally, to then bring like another life into the world. And so like, that's why I have dogs and I love my dogs, and I can give them all of my focus and love. But like, it's hard. It's hard to be a parent, and it's hard to be a parent now. Especially not even because of like political climate, just in general. It's just like the internet and
right,
like all that stuff. The children that I babysit, like not just the ones that I babysit now, but just in the past, the children are addicted to the internet and addicted to they're basically like crackheads. And I say right. That with love.
I mean, but it's hard if your parents are also addicted and don't really. Right? It's and don't silly. Really want to deal with it. And they're just like, here's the phone. If that will help you to stop crying, then it's kind of, we all got to get out of this addiction hole.
Yeah.
Oh, there was something else I just wanted to ask you. No, I lost my train of thought.
Blame Mercury. Mercury's in retrograde. So.
Is it Mercury? Shoot, man. What? Oh, dang it. Oh, I hope it comes back to me. If your boyfriend begged you, Zuri, if he was like, Zuri, you're the best thing since chicken tenders, fries, and a Sprite. You are my happy meal. Honey, this, this, and that, and the other, and yada, yada, yada. Please give me a baby. What would you do?
I would be like, no, I think we have to break up because I can't do that for sure. I can't. Like, I told him this years ago. I was like, if you want kids, you need to be with someone else because I can't give you a yes or a no. Like, definitively. And, like, now I've said recently, like, I'm like, probably not. It's not going to happen. So, like, if you need kids to feel fulfilled or whatever,
it's, I'm not the one.
I'm not the one. And it's unfortunate and it sucks. But that's, like, those are, like, there's very few, like, huge deal breakers in relationships, like, really catastrophic ones. And kids is one of them. We can't get married and be like, okay, so now we're married. So now that we're married, can all the things that you said change? And
so real.
And that no. So,
real. So this is just, like, a slight sidebar. There was, like, years when I was like, I don't want kids. And there was a man who I will not say his name. But I was in love with him for so long, and I knew that he didn't want kids. And I'm not going to say he led me on, but, like, low-key, passively, he kind of led me on. And he finally was like, yeah, I don't like you. And I was like, oh, shoot, that sucks. We're not going to get into that part of the story. But, like, I think I realized that part of me was saying that I didn't want kids for so long because I knew he did not want them. And now that I've kind of been released from under his spell,
right?
I think I kind of want them. But I don't know.
Which is fair. Like, I don't, like, I place no value judgment on if people want kids or not. It's like, you do what makes the most sense and makes you the most comfortable with yourself at the end of the day.
Right.
Just for me, I know, seeing where we're going, and, like, we are in the midst of a civil war right now, and, like, I just can't fathom doing that to anyone consciously on my part, and being like, yeah, let's have kids, because nothing's wrong with the world, and we're, like, so, you know, it's neither here nor there for other people, because, like, people have to have kids, otherwise, like, the world's gonna die out. But
right.
But that being said, I might not mind adopting, but I could be persuaded to do that. But having my own kids, I don't think is in the cards.
Interesting. Okay, so I do want to ask you about your wigs.
Yes.
They're so fierce. I don't know about you, but when I was on tour with Beautiful, I traveled a literal bucket of wigs.
That's so funny.
Like, I had a whole section of just my wigs. Do you have a lot as well, or do you just have, like, a favorite one or two that you like to use?
I have a favorite few. I'm very frugal at the end of the day, so I don't, like, I love to spend money, but I also know that I love to spend money. So I try to prevent myself from spending money.
Right.
And, like, if anybody asks me, I'm poor. I'm like, I ain't got money. You want to do what? I can't do that. I can't go out.
Shut up!
The only way we can hang out is by going to a bar. Is it okay if I just sit there? No. Okay. Then I can't go out with you. I'm just not going to go, you know, that's how I've always been. But when it comes to, I would love to have, if I had space, I would have, like, probably a good, like, 6 to 10 wigs, but I don't have space. Like, and that's, like, minimum 6 to 10 wigs. And, like, but I just don't have the space to put them all and hang them properly or put them on heads the way that I would want to. Like, if I'm going to really go in on the wig thing, I would really want, like, a full closet where two shelves are for my wigs, and then, like, the other shelves are for shoes, and then, like, that's like my perfect closet. But I just don't have the space right now. I have four wigs, and I really want, I've been trying to, like, play with or think about playing with short hair.
My favorite.
Not that I don't think it would look good on me. I just haven't found a style yet that I'm like, yes, this is my style. And this is like, you know. So, but I just like big wigs. I like hair. And
it looks so good on you.
When I was in college and I did my first like performing gig outside of school and stuff was what was it called? It was like a theme park. And so we had like four or five wigs for the four or five different characters or things that we were doing and like all that stuff. So I got to like experiment with a lot of wigs without me having to pay for it.
Nice.
And so I was like, oh, this is how this look. Okay, I see what like. And I realized, and as someone told me, they were like, you look really good in all of your wigs. You have a face that was like meant for wigs.
Yes, you do.
And I don't say that as like a like pat myself on the back kind
no,
of.
No, it's a thing. Not everybody has that. So own it.
Yeah. So But I love big hair because I've always wanted like Rapunzel down to my butt, like not straight hair per se, but just like a lot of hair. I love volume. I like Donna Summer wigs and like that, yes. Those kind of styles. And like I have like a 4C texture. So it's hard for me to find. There's one wig that I have that is like my favorite wig and I can't remember where I got it from.
Oh, that is the worst.
I know it's the worst. I literally like searched in my email to be like, did I buy it on Wigsby? Did I buy it? Like, I cannot find this wig for the life of me.
I have been there. That is the worst.
It's such a good wig. It looks like if my hair were to grow out and I was like styling it and stuff, that's what my hair would look like. Most people think it's my hair. And, it's so good and I'm able to like twist it and do like cute buns in the front or like dumb things with them. And I love that wig. But yeah, I love hair and I love my hair too. I use my hair all the time, but I also,
that's the thing, Zuri, like, and that's what I'm so impressed by you and like so like a little in awe too. It's you have these great wigs, but also you've got such a great head of hair underneath the wigs. And when I first met you, that is what one of the other girls who was auditioning with us, I don't remember who, had said. They were like, oh my gosh, have you met Zuri? You don't know Zuri? Oh my goodness. Like, and they were like, she's got the best wigs. And guess what? She's got the best afro underneath her wigs. I'm like, wait, wait, wait. What? It's just kind of fun. To me, it's just another way to like, Black women are magic. It's like, we are so versatile. You can throw on a wig and also you don't have to if you don't want to. And you still have a freaking fierce ass mane. Like,
it's such a good expression of self. Like I was born with thick hair. Like my mother, like the way my mother treats my hair, it's like her own. She's like cultivated it over the years. I really sometimes I'm like, you know what? I want to be like, what does a cheerleader look like? So that, like, if I'm being a cheerleader or whatever, so I have like long wavy hair. But then if I'm like, oh, but what if I'm being like a sassy high schooler? Then I'm like, I'm wearing my own hair, and it looks like it makes me look a little younger usually. Younger. Yeah. My own hair. But then like, you know, but if I'm like, I'm glamorous, I will go back and forth, but usually I'll wear like my really big hair, my really big wig, or I'll pick out my fro. It just takes more time. Depends on the time that I have and the but also it depends on what auditions I have during the day. I will plan out my auditions and be like, okay, so the first two auditions I have today, I am wearing this wig. And then the second two auditions I have this day, I am taking out this hair. Or no, not even taking out the hair. Sometimes I'll just have the twists. And then the last auditions of the day, I will take out the twist and be like, boop, 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 boop. Okay, my hair is out. Yeah. and that's how I progress throughout the day.
Where are you from?
I'm from the Bronx.
You've always like grown, raised in New York, in the Bronx?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I'm asking because like I have seen you show up to auditions. When you show up, you show up. Okay. And so I'm from California, and a lot of girls in California, when they show up, they show up. Like, you are coming with a full beat, full hair and makeup. You are ready to go. It doesn't matter if it's 5 in the morning and you're waiting to sign your name on the list or whatever. Like, the girls in California do that kind of thing. And a lot of girls in New York, not everybody does that. New York has a very different, like, a lot of, yeah, it's like, this is what I am. This is who I am. This is what I look like. And it's like a different kind of grit. And it obviously works, but it's very different than girls showing up from California who are like, and I look beat. But I'm asking because, like, you have that energy of, like, not only am I prepared for this audition, but, like, I'm going to look better than anybody. You look so good. I wish I could be like, okay, what audition is this? Is Zuri going to be there? Man, let me put a lash on. Shoot. Let me... You are so beautiful. Like, awesome. Seriously, it is such a thing. I'm like, oh, man, I got to step my game up for this. Dang. Like...
And I have two different sets of eyelashes for depending on what it is. I'm like, okay, so if this for this, then I have to wear like my va-va-voom eyelashes, my 301s or something. But then, but then if it's like, oh, I'm just like a very, I'm a lawyer. I just wear my like my baby lashes just so you know they're present, they're there.
But
because I got eyelashes that curl into my face. But I don't know. I've auditioned since I was 14, and like actively, but also I also knew at a young age, I was like, I'm not gonna get in this show because I'm 14. But most people don't know that I'm 14 at that age. They're like, oh, maybe she's like 18, 19, possibly. Because when I was younger, people thought I was older. Now I'm older and people are like, are you 12?
Oh, I mean, that's like, a bad thing.
I'm like, I don't understand how this works and the laws of physics and this Benjamin Buttoning that's happening, but that's fine. So it's okay.
I'm getting called in for the mom recently. I'm like, what? Oh, no.
That doesn't make any sense.
I get called in for the mom a lot. Like, literally, I've been trying to plan my trip to California because I don't want to be by myself for my birthday. I'm like, if I get there at this time, I'll be done quarantining by this time. Then I can hug my parents by this time. And I got a call back, which is a good thing for an audition, that I was like, I'm not going to get this. I don't mind sending in a tape because I'm not middle-aged and I'm not a mom. And all these names of people who have auditioned, there's no freaking way. And I got that email. I was a little insulted. I was like, excuse me. No.
Every once in a while I get something that's like, this character's in her 30s, but mom, I haven't gotten mom yet. That's crazy. And I don't know if that, maybe honestly, maybe your agent's just like cooler than mine and just gets you a lot more stuff. But like, that's really crazy to me because I don't see like wrinkles on your face at any way, shape, or form.
I mean, I could technically be a young mom, but if I'm going to be a mom, I want to be like a cool mom.
Cool.
With the dab.
We'll be right back right after the break. This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Okay, before I let you go, because I know we are like, I could talk to you for a very long time. And I'm like, oh my gosh, Zuri, you just feel like home.
Oh, I love that.
It just feels like, why don't we do this more? Before we go, I have to ask you about your natural hair, everything, because you do have such a beautiful, thick, healthy looking head of hair. And so I just want to know a couple things. Number one, have you always worn your hair natural? Have you ever had any periods of straightening it? And then coming to present day, how do you care for it today?
So I got my, when did I get my hair relaxed for the first time? I think I was 10. And like, it just was like, it's not that my mom was like forcing it on me. I was just like, I want to get my hair relaxed. Cause that seemed like the thing to do. And so my hair, I think I relaxed it for like more than 10 years. And I've always, like, you know, I have thick hair, so my hair didn't do poorly because of it. But then, when did I start going natural? Actually, I guess I was in my, it was after tour, like my touring life was done, more or less. So like 23, 24. And I was like, okay, I want to be natural. 'Cause like, I want to figure out how it works. And I love seeing people with their natural hair. So yeah. I was like, okay, I think that I can do this. I could stick my hand in my hair and it won't come out. And I'm just like, get out. So it took a long time for me to come up with like a pattern that generally works. I'm always switching between products. I was just talking to Michelle West Watson the other day, and I was like, Michelle, I can't pick products, and I just keep wanting to choose new things. And then I also have dreams where I in the dream, it's literally me being like, oh, look at these inches, like just me. Like length checking, and I'm like, why is this a dream that I had, like an actual dream that I've had multiple times? And I'm like, oh,
recurring length check dream.
And I'm like, is that just like a good thing for my future? Is it me being very desperate? I can't tell what it is. And so but yeah, I love, my hair is thick and it looks good, and I know how to, like, I, the very least, I know how to like really twist my hair and make the curls come out good. So like I've been doing it for a long time, but what I'm trying to do now is figure out my length retention, and I need to figure it out now prior to when everything goes back to normal. Cause if I can figure it out now, then I'll still be able to grow my hair well outside of all of that. Yeah. Cause that's the hard thing, is like, you know, wearing wigs specifically in shows, because I know how to pin my hair so that it's not gonna like pull out my freaking edges, but like sometimes you got people just going like bleh, like just like stabbing you in the head, yeah, in the brain, and then you lose all that progress and all the growth and all the thickness, etc. So yeah, it's been not a hard process per se, but just like a long process to really get it down to like a science, kind of. Because it really is a science.
Is your go-to, it sounds like it might be a twist out, or is it a wash and go, or is it a bantu knot, or is it a braid out? What do you like?
For a while I was doing bantus. I prefer twist outs, generally speaking. I cannot do a wash and go, not at this point in my life. I haven't, like, I could, but like just the way that my hair goes back in on itself, I haven't found the products that would allow for me to not have the most breakage after doing it.
I have a question for you. You mentioned that I've not talked about bantu knots with anybody on this show yet. And so for those who are listening, who are like, what is a bantu knot? It's like,
what do they call them? They call them, when the Kardashians do it, it's mini buns.
Oh,
mini buns.
How would you describe it? Because I haven't done it in so long. Would you say like you're twisting your hair and then doing a mini bun?
Yeah, twist, and then twist it around itself.
So my question for you, and I don't know if you have solved this or not, but it's been a while since I've done that. When I take it out, I get a lot of breakage on the ends of my hair. And so I stopped.
That
maybe because I'm like twisting it too much at the very end.
Well, because you definitely need to twist it as much as you definitely need to twist it as much as possible. Maybe I can't say this like for a fact, but like it's possible. I find even with my twist, like my normal twist, the problem is that I'm either not cutting off the fairy knots enough, or there's not enough moisture on the ends of my hair. Like I'm getting all this good moisture in like the roots and like the length of the hair, but then when it comes to the very end, you just need to like dip your finger one last time into whatever it is, and then go bloop, 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 whatever.
Okay.
I think, cause I think it's that the hair on the ends, it just dries out quickly. So if you're not maintaining that moisture inside the thing, so I would probably, if I was doing Bantu knots now, I would probably untwist, not the whole twist, but I would untwist it just to twist it back into the Bantu again with some cream or oil product, whatever, to twist it back again, just so it gets something every few days. You know.
Interesting. Yeah, you mentioned fairy knots, and people are like, what's fairy knots? It's like the knots at the end. It's, I don't know.
Like single strand knots. Like when the hair goes, like curls around itself and makes its own knot, and that's like just a single strand knot, fairy knot. That's what a fairy knot, because it feels like a small Tinkerbell is in your hair.
And there's nothing else to do but kind of like yank it out at that point.
Right. But don't yank it, because if you yank it, that causes more breakage on that strand. So when I see them, I cut them like right at the where it meets the rest of my hair.
Nice.
Just put it right there. So then you still maintain the whole strand, and then you get a clean cut, and it's not just going to split into split ends
and fray and stuff.
And yeah, and create more knots.
Ooh, okay. I love that. Okay. And you said you didn't have like a favorite product right now, do you?
The only product that I love right now is the TGIN deep conditioner honey mask thing.
Oh.
It's so good. Like every time, like I have like four deep conditioners right now, and I kind of alternate between them. But the TGIN one, when I put it in my hair the first time and when I got out of the shower, I was like, Am I?
We love this.
So like that is my favorite singular product that I have. And then of course, like there are various oils that I love, but that's like my favorite brand name product that I currently have right now. I'm gonna go on a cholesterol journey soon and see what that does to my hair.
Interesting. But
I've seen really good things about like hair cholesterol and like as a deep conditioning mask, and it's a part of people's like deep hydration methods. And I want to try this, the clay mask that everyone's like really, that's been really popular, where you take like, it's like Aztec, I can't remember the name of it. It's like Aztec something clay. You can literally get it in Walgreens. I found it in Walgreens. But you mix it with apple cider vinegar and make a paste. And then you run it through detangled hair, and it just strips your hair of every bad anything that might be there, and just leaves you with like a really clean slate to like then put product on.
Interesting.
So.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'm like, I wonder how that would feel. Before I let you go, what makes you feel seen? And this is a question I'm asking, like, if you were to walk into an audition, Zuri, and any audition or starting rehearsals for a new show, what could whoever the people in the room do before you get there that would make you feel seen? Or maybe while you're in the room, anything. This could be anything. What makes you feel seen?
I think... What makes me feel seen is when people see the me that, not necessarily the me that I want them to see, not the performative me, but they see like the real me. And I can tell that they see that because they say something, things that I think have disappeared from me, or things that have not made themselves known in a long time. And someone said, you have such a kind spirit. And I'm like, no one's called me kind in a long time, or no one's called me, you know, warm, or, you know, cause I have in my life and in my career, I've had to not be those things in order to accomplish certain things. And so when people can see the me I want to be, that makes me feel seen, and it disarms me. And that's a good thing, because then I feel less like I am a robot product that's trying to sell myself. And then I can be more the authentic Zuri Washington that can light up a room and that can light
you
up.
You do someone. Light up a room. What do you mean I can light up?
It's hard for me to feel that like on it, like when the grind is going and it's just like every day is kind of a slog and I'm like, okay, whatever. But then I walk into a room or not even for an audition per se, but someone's like, oh my God, Zuri, I saw you in this show like 6 years ago. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And they're like, oh yeah. And you talked to me afterwards at the stage door. And I'm like, oh, okay. And like, so like those kind of like small things matter more to me than like the big ticket items. Like the big ticket items pay my bills, but they don't feed my spirit. So.
Amen. Y'all, Zuri Washington, thank you for joining me today.
Always my pleasure.
You are so beautiful from the inside out. And I'm so glad I got to like hang out with you for a little while tonight. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, girl.
And that wraps another episode of Black Hair in the Big League. Y'all, I'm so honored to have such great guests on this show. And if there's somebody who you want to listen to, please drop me a note on my Instagram at Salisha Thomas or at Black Hair Podcast and slip into those DMs and let me know what you want to hear, who you want to hear from. If you haven't already, please subscribe to this podcast, rate it, leave a review, tell a friend, follow us on Patreon at Black Hair in the Big Leagues. Y'all, I am so grateful that you are part of this community. It would not be the same without you. Shout out to Wilton Music for producing my theme song, Love COD. Shout out to Colin Tabor for editing this episode and most of these episodes. And shout out to you for listening. Y'all, my heart is so big and I feel so grateful. Thank you for listening to Black Hair in the Big Leagues. I'm your host, Salisha Thomas. See you next week.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com and, of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.